16. And I want to, yes, Patty.
I'm apologizing right now. I'm sorry. The Lord gave me a word and I stopped it. And I want to give it.
Come on, yeah, share it.
All right. I don't like it. I'm giving my people eyes to see and ears to hear, for I have judged this nation and this world, and you will be my witnesses as I execute my sentence. You'll be filled with my power and strength to show my love to this world, as the pain will draw them to me. I love this world.
Wow. And it just goes along, really, with the theme of the service today.
I'm sorry.
No.
I get scared sometimes.
I'm glad you shared it now, because that's what we need. That's what I was just talking about, and that's another reason to come to the Forerunner Conference. And let's as a church also, let's just prepare our hearts for those coming times. Thank you for that word this morning. I appreciate it. Better late than never. Don't feel bad. I think we've all done that. I have. John 3:16, I'm going to talk to you today about a father's blueprint. How many guys here have ever read a blueprint? How many ladies have ever read a blueprint? I'm not real good at reading blueprints. You know, we had a huge blueprint as we built the church, and I'm glad for, Lowell and others who could read it and tell me what was going on. Yeah, so I have a blueprint. That wasn't my area of expertise, construction. I think I know a little bit more about the Bible, and so I want to share a blueprint, interpret a blueprint for you this morning. And actually, it's very simple. I'm a simple person. So I just got really simple points to draw out from John chapter 3 and verse 16. I'll be reading out of the King James. Let's read it together. If you have that translation. If you don't, I don't care if you read another translation. So who cares if we're not really in sync? All right. Ready? Go. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. This is a much beloved verse, and I really never thought about preaching on this verse for Father's Day. But as I thought about it, there are four ways or specifications that form a sort of blueprint that we can follow to be the kind of fathers that God wants us to be. And dads, here as I speak to you this morning, I just want you to know that I'm on your side. I'm a father myself, and I'm not preaching at you this morning. What I'm trying to do is encourage you this morning to follow this blueprint. And I believe that you will see that God makes it really simple. God makes it easy for us to, as fathers, to do. And so the first spec that we find in this blueprint is of a father that loves unconditionally. A father that loves unconditionally. It's Jesus said here, for God so loved the world. And as Christians, we know that God loves us unconditionally. We don't have to do anything to earn God's love. God loves us because we are his children. There's no strings attached to that. God loves us as we are. One writer said, there is nothing that we can do to make him love us anymore, and nothing we could do to make him love us any less. God loves us. In fact, Psalm 103, it says that God is abounding in love. His love just abounds. And that his love for us is from everlasting to everlasting. Forever and always, God loves us. And he doesn't treat us as our sin deserves or repay us according to our iniquities, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his love toward them that fear him. God's love is unconditional, and the moment we become fathers, we know what that means, right? Think back to your first child as it was born. The love that you felt was unconditionally. That child hadn't done anything to earn your love yet, and yet you love them. Now, today, I'm sure that you love your wives unconditionally. Amen? All right. We're called to do so in Scripture. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. But think about it. Now, I know there's such a thing as love at first sight. But I want you to think about when you first met your wife. Did you really fall head and heels in love with her? Or did you get to know her a little bit first? And then you began to love her. For example, if you were first dating your wife and you found out that she was using you and she was really a terrorist, but she was using you to gain secrets to destroy our country, would you still love her? Probably not. Your feelings for her might have withered away at that point. But today, in spite of the fact that she's not perfect and you're not perfect, you love her unconditionally. We love each other despite our faults. We overlook those things. So I'm saying that to love your wife to some extent is because she has earned that love over the years. Now, you're to love her unconditionally, but yet you have grown to love her because of the wonderful person that she is. Now, while many meaning people think that this is the way God loves us, they think that he loves us more as he gets to know us, but especially as we do things that are worthy of his great love. But it doesn't work. And God helps us to see that in this truth and through this scripture today. For God so loved the world that he gave. Was there anything lovely about the world when God took the initiative to love the world and to give his son? There was nothing worthy of God's love in this world. In fact, the Bible says that when we were enemies of Christ, we were strangers to the cross. While we were yet enemies of God, Christ loved us and gave himself for us. And so we can understand a little bit about the way God loves us as we understand the love that a parent has for a child. Now, the human love that we have for our children is the best example that we could come up with of God's love for us. Not based on performance, not based on merit. It's based on the fact that we are his. I've never met a father who has said, I don't love my children. Of course they do. Of course they love their children. Sometimes as dads, we might drop the ball. Sometimes we might not express that love. We might not say it enough. But we still love our children. We might not show it enough, but we do love them. There are times when we openly express our affection for our children, and there are times when we don't say things that maybe we should. And I'm just here again to encourage you today. Your children need to know that you love them. And if we follow God's blueprint, we need to find ways to tell them that we love them frequently and in various settings, not just when they do something good, but to let them know that we love them unconditionally. And moms, you can help us in this area. Because not all men are great at expressing their feelings and their emotions. Some men have difficulty communicating emotion. So you know what you can do? You can put in a good word for us from time to time. You know, you can go to our children and you can say, you know what your dad said about you last night? Your dad said that you're the smartest girl I've ever seen. Or you can go to your son and you know what your dad said about you last night? He said, I'm so proud of my son. He shows such great wisdom. He loves you so much. One of my favorite examples of a father's unconditional love is found in the true story of a father named Smith. Who lived, Smith or Smythe, I'm not sure exactly how you say it, who lived during the Civil War. But he was a Quaker, and of course Quakers are opposed to war. And well, against his father's wishes, his son ran off and enlisted. He didn't hear from his son for almost 2 years, and then word came that his boy had been wounded in a battle that was nearby. That father left the farm, traveled to where the troops were. He made his way to the commander, and he asked about his son. The commander said that there had been heavy action earlier in the day and that many had fallen wounded and still lay in the trenches. It was late at night, so the father lit a lantern and walked out to the scene of the battle. As he arrived, he was filled with despair when he saw by the dim light of his lamp the number of men who had been wounded and lay dying. The father began crying out loudly, "Jonathan Smith! Jonathan Smith!" He'd walk a little further and he'd cry out again, "Jonathan Smith! Jonathan Smith!" Here and there he'd hear a groan. Several wounded young soldiers said, "I wish that were my father." Mr. Smith continued his search, calling for his son for several hours. Finally, he heard a faint voice that said, "Father, I'm over here." And then the wounded boy said, "I knew you would come." That is the kind of unconditional love that God has for us. When we are wounded, it's as if we could hear him calling out our name. And dads, this is a challenge for us, again, to call out the name of our children when they are hurting and just to let them know that we are there for them. This is unconditional love, even expressed when our children disappoint us, even expressed when they disobey us. This is the kind of love that God has for us. Remember, Jesus was God who come in the flesh. And he said, "I've come to seek and to save that which was lost." And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know what he's doing? He's walking up and down the aisles of this church this morning. He's walking in between the pews and he's calling your name because he's come to seek and to save you. Wanting above everything else that you would give your life to him. That he could be your father. He could be your God. He could be your Savior. And if we are following God's blueprint, then we must love our children in this way. And then the second specification that we find on God's blueprint for fathers is that a father gives sacrificially. And we see this in the next part of the verse where Jesus says that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Or as Paul says in Romans, God demonstrated his love for us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God gives sacrificially. But here's the thing that I noticed about giving. What the Father really gives is he gives of himself. For God so loved the world that he gave, he really gave of himself. And that's the best gift that we can give. Far above any financial, monetary things. That's not really what this verse is talking about. It's talking about a father investing in the life of his children by giving of himself. God gives sacrificially. But his love and his generosity didn't stop at the cross. He continues to give. He gives blessings in our lives. He gives blessings in our homes. He gives us the skill to be parents. He meets our daily needs. He answers our prayers. He is indeed a giving God. As James 1:17 says, every good and every perfect gift comes from our Father above. Now, most of us make sure that our children's needs are met. But here's the thing that I think our children want more than anything. Far more important than any money. When we give of ourselves, we are giving of our time. We're giving our time to our children. A group of elementary children were asked, "What's a dad for?" Their number one answer was this: "A dad is for spending time with." That's what you're for. You're to spend time with them. This shows that our gift of time is far more valuable than we will ever know. And that's what they want most. They want your time. They want you. And this is good news. I thought this was good news because then we don't have to be wealthy or incredibly talented to positively impact our kids. We just need to spend time with them. Let me encourage you. According to one expert, more than 40% of American adults have no weekly contact with children at all. Perhaps this is because many dads commute an hour or more to work every day. Some leave at 5:30 in the morning before their children get up. They don't get home till 7:30, just in time to watch their children go to bed. And another study was done to gather information on the parental issue. Psychologists attached microphones to the shirts of kids to record actual parental interaction. The results were really shocking. The average amount of daily time each dad spent with his kids. Are you ready for this? I hope this makes you feel good. I do. Because the average dad only spends 37 seconds with his child each day. They have 2.7 daily encounters of 10 to 15 seconds each. And if you compare that to these seconds to the 4 hours, 4 to 7 hours children watch TV every day. Not to mention the hours they spend in school or listening to music or on their computer or whatever else. I want you to know, dads, if you're spending more than 37 seconds with your child each day, you are doing more than the average father. So I just want to encourage you, it doesn't take a lot, but it takes something. It just takes an effort on our part. We need to find a way to give them our time because that's what they want the most from us. I came across a story of a father who came home from work late again, and you might have heard this story. It's been around for a while, but his father was tired and irritated, and he found his 5-year-old son waiting for him at the door. He looked up and said, "Daddy, may I ask you a question?" The dad replied, "Yeah, sure, what is it?" "Daddy, how much money do you make an hour?" The dad got mad and said, "That's none of your business. Why do you want to know?" The little boy said, "I just want to know. Please tell me, how much do you make an hour?" The dad, wanting to sit down and relax, said, "Well, if you must know, I make $20 an hour." The little boy sighed and bowed his head. Then looking up at his dad, he said, "Dad, may I borrow $10, please?" The father flew off the handle and said, "The only reason you wanted to know how much money I make is so that you can hit me up for some cash to buy some stupid toy. Then you march yourself straight to your room and go to bed. You're so selfish. I work long, hard hours every day and don't have time for this." The little boy quietly went to his room and shut the door. The dad sat down and started to get even madder about the nerve of his little boy. How dare he ask questions only to get some money? After an hour or so, the man calmed down and started to think that maybe he was a bit hard on his son. Maybe his little boy really needed the money for something important. So the father went up to his boy's room and opened the door and asked, "Are you asleep, son?" "No, Daddy, I'm awake," replied the boy. "I've been thinking maybe I was too hard on you earlier. It's been a long day and I took it out on you. Here's the $10 you asked for." Little boy straightened up in bed, beaming smile on his face. "Oh, thank you, Daddy." Then reaching under his pillow, he pulled out a wad of crumpled up bills. The dad, seeing that the boy already had some money, started to get angry again. The little boy started slowly to count out his money. The dad, now ticked off again, demanded to know what was going on. "Why do you want more money if you already have some?" The little boy replied, "Because I didn't have enough, but now I do. Daddy, I have $20 now, and I'd like to buy an hour of your time." Dads, would you, your kids have to buy your time, or do we freely give them our time? God's blueprint calls for us to give our children some time, to give sacrificially. There may be some other things that we would want to do for ourselves, but it becomes a sacrifice. But I tell you, it'd be well worth it. As we continue to follow God's blueprint, the third thing a father does is he requires responsibility. You look back at John chapter 3 and verse 16 again. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes." Do you see that? "Whosoever believes in him." In other words, we have a role to play in our salvation. I'm not saying that we work for our salvation. Our Heavenly Father requires us to respond, though, to his love by believing. That is our responsibility. We need to believe in him. We don't have to be perfect. We can't pay for our own sins, But we do have the capacity to believe, and what we can do is what God requires of us to do. Well, you know, as good fathers, we also need to require some things of our children. Now, it's up to them. We can love them. We can give them. We can require some things of them. It's up to them to respond to that. But if we follow God's blueprint, we do what's right, and then we leave the results up to God. And so here, God requires of us to believe, and a good earthly father has certain things that he requires of his children. He expects them to be responsible in certain areas of their life. Now, don't misunderstand. We don't ask for unreasonable things, but we do expect our children to act responsibly. If we don't require anything of them, they will never amount to anything. John Grisham, in his book, The Testament, begins with a story about a man who succeeded in business beyond what most people could imagine. He amassed a fortune of $11 billion. And along the way, he married 3 times, fathered 7 children in those marriages. He provided for all of them financially, but he was an emotionally absent father and never expected or required much of them. He gave each child $5 million on their 21st birthday. Every one of those children just squandered that money away. Eventually, they wound up in debt, resentful of their father. They were eagerly waiting for him to die so they could claim their inheritance. Now, even though this man was a success in the world, he was a failure as a father, and his children paid the price. And I know it's just a work of fiction, but there is a great truth there. And it reminded me of a true story, and that is in the Bible, and it involves a priest named Eli. Remember Eli? He's this priest who served in the temple, but he was a failure as a father because his sons had no respect for God. His sons had no respect for the law of God. They defiled the sacrifices. They extorted from those who brought offerings to God. And they slept with the women who served in the temple. And Eli knew about their behavior, and he didn't say anything. He didn't do anything to try to correct it. He didn't require his sons to behave in a godly manner. And as a result, God judged Eli. You see, as fathers, I believe that we also have a responsibility before God to teach our children the truth and require of them to be responsible people. And that they will learn to love God and respect His word. Now again, what they do with that is up to them, but it's our job to teach them. It's our responsibility to teach them. And we say that nothing less than God's word is acceptable. And honestly, I tell you this, it's not really the church's responsibility. It's your responsibility as fathers and mothers to do that. And the church is here to back you up and to help you in those regards. But your responsibility is to require of your children to be godly. And in fact, I would say that Eli really didn't even love his children, because Proverbs 13:24 says, "He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly." And there's one final thing here that a father does. A father prepares his children. As John 3:16 clearly says, God has made it possible for us to have a glorious future, and that is eternal life in heaven with him. So how can we do this? There's 3 ways, 3 things that we can do to help prepare our children. I'm sorry that's so dark. I didn't think it would be. But the first is to prepare our kids to develop healthy relationships, to help them choose the right kinds of friends, and more importantly, to teach them how to be the right kind of friend. To help them as they pick out a mate, future mate, who they should marry, and how they can just relate to people as a whole. Secondly, father should help there. His child to prepare for his or her career. And I know this might be difficult, and there might be different levels of this, but if you can help identify their skills and interests, you can give them some direction. You know, as we watch them grow and develop and mature, a lot of things that we say to them will generate their interests. You know, my dad thinks I'm good at this. Maybe I should look into this. But the most important thing, though, in preparing them for the future is to prepare them spiritually, to bring them up in a Christian atmosphere, to read the Bible to them and talk to them about the relationship that they need to have with Jesus, to encourage them and help them to decide to become Christians and to grow in Christ-likeness. And I'll point out that the best example, or the best teacher your children have is you. Your and my example. And what we become excited about, they become excited about. If I'm excited about church, they're excited about church. If I'm excited about studying the Bible, they're excited about studying the Bible. So this is where we can help them out spiritually. So God is the perfect Father, and He's given us a blueprint to emulate. And that is, we are to love our children. I missed the last point, I'm sorry. That was to help the children spiritually. Secondly, we're to give to our children sacrificially. And then a good father requires of things of his children. And the fourth thing is that we prepare our children for the future. And here's the thing that really make you successful dads. If God is your heavenly Father, then He will help you be a good earthly father. In her story, The Whisper Test, Marianne Bird writes, "I grew up knowing I was different and I hated it. I was born with a cleft palate, and when I started school, my classmates made it clear to me how I looked to others. A little girl with a misshapen lip, a crooked nose, lopsided teeth, and garbled speech. When my schoolmates asked, 'What happened to your lip?' I'd tell them I'd fallen and cut it on a piece of glass. Somehow it seemed more acceptable to have suffered an accident than to have been born different. I was convinced that no one outside my family could ever love me. There was, however, a teacher in the second grade whom we all adored. Her name was Mrs. Leonard. She was a short, round, happy, sparkling lady. Every year we had a hearing test. Mrs. Leonard gave the test to everyone in the class, and one year I went last. I knew from past years that as we stood against the door and covered one ear, the teacher sitting at her desk would whisper something, and we would have to repeat it back. Things like, 'The sky is blue,' or 'Do you have new shoes?' I waited there and listened, and then I heard words that God must have put into her mouth. Seven words that changed my life. Mrs. Leonard said in her whisper, 'I wish you were my little girl.'" You know that every person deformed by sin, God whispers in your ear, "I wish you were my little girl." "I wish you were my little boy." "I wish you were my child." "I wish you were in my family." "Let me tell you, I love you unconditionally. I gave sacrificially for you. I gave my own son to die on a cross, that you might be saved, that you might have eternal life. I wish you were my son or daughter." See, if you were my son or daughter, I would give you the right and the privilege to be my child, the child of the King. And if you're not here, if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, I can tell you today that that's what's on God's heart. And if you would just listen with your heart today, you would hear God say, I wish you were mine. I wish you were my son. I wish you were my daughter. You're just the kind of person that I love. You're just the person that I gave my life for. You're just the kind of person I want in my family. I would be so glad. I would be so happy. I would be so proud to be able to call you mine, my child. And if you're here today and you've not accepted God in all of his love and in his great sacrificial gifts, I don't understand why. I don't understand what you'd be waiting for. Nobody will ever love you as much as God. Nobody will ever care for you as much as the Father who is in heaven. Yes, he requires something of you. He requires, first of all, that you believe. And I just don't mean a mental assent. I mean that you trust. That's what he requires. That you put your faith and you put your trust in him. And if you do that, you know what he says? I will in no way cast you out. I'll never turn anybody away. I will never reject anyone. But whoever comes to me can find forgiveness and eternal life. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. I pray that we all experience it firsthand. It says, how great is the love that the Father has bestowed or lavished. I like that word, lavished. How great is the love that our Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. Can I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? I know I went a little longer than I actually had planned. But first of all, I want to call you to Jesus. I want to call you to the perfect Father. And if you have not accepted his gift of love and his sacrifice of his Son, and you cannot say today that God is your Heavenly Father, because he's not the Father of everyone. That is such a misnomer in our world today. He's only the Father of those who have been born again spiritually, who've been adopted into the family of God. And if you have not done that, and you can't call God your Father today, would you remedy that situation? Would you listen as God says today, I wish you were mine? Would you respond and say, God, I want to be yours. And I receive your sacrifice into my heart and my life today. And I receive your forgiveness. Is there anybody here by a raised hand? You say, Pastor, would you pray for me? That's me. That's me. I want God to be my Heavenly Father. I want Jesus as my Savior. I am trusting him today. I'm doing what's required of me. I'm trusting him. Is there anyone here? Dads, again, I didn't mean to be hard on anybody today. I really just did want to encourage you. I know you get preached at a lot. I just want to help you. And I know that if you let God, the perfect Father, help you, you'll be a better father for it. He's given us the blueprint. He says that we need to love our children unconditionally. He's given us the blueprint. The second spec says that we need to be sacrificing. What is it we sacrifice? We sacrifice ourselves. We sacrifice our time. And a good father also requires things of his children. Sometimes you have to be tough. Sometimes you have to be the disciplinarian. Your children will thank you and love you for it eventually. And then it's your job is to prepare them for their future. Mainly, prepare them for spiritual things and for eternal life. And if you have children that are not ready for that eternal future, I just want to encourage you, keep praying. Pray for them. Give of your time to pray for them. Even though you're not giving your time directly to them, that time is not wasted. Father, I thank you for each of the fathers here today. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Take every effort that they have made and just bless it. Lord, that they would see fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Lord, as they love and they exercise that fruit, that it would be returned to them by their children. Lord, bless them as they give sacrificially. That they would know that their sacrifice is not in vain. Give them wisdom as they prepare their children for their future. Help us, O Heavenly Father. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The worship team have a song. God bless them. Amen.